eyeball to eyeball, face to face, one on one, direct amends wherever possible. Now, another kind of direct amend probably deals with equal restitution. You know, sometimes in the past, due to our drinking, we have taken material things from people also, as well as their peace of mind and happiness. We tend to run up bills that we don't pay. We tend to write hot checks that we don't pick up. We tend to borrow money that we do not return. We tend to borrow automobiles and tear them up and never fix them. We tend to hurt a lot of people in a lot of ways in the material world. Now, it's long been known that the only way you get rid of that fear, that guilt, and that remorse is through making restitution for the things we've done in the past. Bill deals with that in the next paragraph. Most alcoholics owe money. That's probably the understatement of the year. We do not dodge our creditors. Tell them what we're trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go. But we're liable to drink if we're afraid to face them. Now, it's not going to do me much good to come to you and say, look, when I was drinking, I stole $600 from you, and I'm sorry about it. Will you forgive me? You're probably going to say, I'm sorry about it too. Where's my $600? I can come to you and say, look, you and I both know that I owe you $600. I don't have the money to pay you today, and I'm sorry about that. But I'd like to start paying you $5 a week. Is that okay with you? And I start paying you $5 a week. And after a while, I wake up one morning, and that $600 is paid off. And I go to the next one, and I say, look, you and I both know that I owe you $784. Can't pay you today, and I'm sorry about that, but I'd like to pay you $10 a week. And I start paying you $10 a week, and next thing you know, that one's paid off, and then I go to the next one. And over a period of time, each one of these things are gradually paid off, and some morning I wake up and I'm free from every bit of that. Now, what I'd really like to do as an alcoholic is wait till I get it all together in one lump sum, put it in a sack, take it in there and slam it down on your desk and say, here's your damn money. But chances are I'm not going to do that. But I can take you one at a time, until I get them all paid off, and then one day I'm through with it. Now, I hear some of you saying, well, yeah, that's probably true for $600, $784. But how about $50,000? About $150,000? How about a half a million? Could we pay that back? Well, I don't see why not. If we're smart enough to steal it, we're probably smart enough to pay it back. You know, I think we forget from step three on, God's with us. And if we are to do these things, we will do them and can do them if we are willing to do so with God's help. Joe and I have a good friend who lives out in California now. He used to live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name's Dan. We celebrated Dan's 40th AA birthday last January. When Dan was 29 years sober, he said, Charlie, I paid the last one of them last week. I said, Dan, how do you feel? He said, I feel about 8 foot tall. Now, Dan's 5 foot two. He said, this is the first time in my life I can ever remember that I don't owe somebody something for what I've stolen in the past. When Dan was drinking, he was in the oil business down in Texas. He hooked a bunch of them, and he hooked them for a lot of money. It took him 29 years to pay them back. But he did it because he was willing to do so. The real question is, are we willing to do these things? The thing says we should do this wherever possible. Now, I've lived long enough to know and fully understand that time is going to pass. There's nothing I can do to stop it. It's going to pass day by day by day. The only question is, am I going to use that time for a worthwhile purpose, or am I just going to let it slide? 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, I can have them all paid off. or 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, I can still owe every one of them and still be worrying about it and maybe get drunk in the meantime. Now, these are things I think we really need to start thinking about and start working on. Today it seems as though people have kind of accepted dishonesty as a way of life. We still have a conscience. God still dwells within each of us. We still know whether we've stolen it or not. And it seems the only way we ever get rid of that is to do something about it. I just think. We got them all paid off and we woke up some morning and we didn't owe one of them, then our mind would be completely free from that and we wouldn't have to worry about that. So these are the direct amends that we make wherever we possibly can. He also deals with whenever we can't or where other people are involved. Bottom of page 78, he talks about criminal offenses. Page 79, second paragraph, he talks about where other people are involved, where it's necessary sometimes to really consider them also as well as just ourselves. Over on page 80, he deals with where we go get another person's permission to make an amend before we try to make that amend, because that other person would be involved in it. Page 80 and 81, he talks about domestic problems and sex outside of marriage, and what are we going to do about those kind of things also. Very, very carefully, paragraph by paragraph, he handles about anything that can come up. You know, I've worked with a lot of people, and I've never had a question come up on amends that we couldn't find the answer for it in the big book. He puts page after page after page on it, so apparently it is really, really important. Let's go over to page 83, third paragraph.
So there may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we'd right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. There may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. And we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. You know, that reminds me of the time I made amends to my wife, Phyllis. I had a mobile home up north of Tulsa in a lake area. I didn't think she knew about it. And one night in the middle of the night, there's a knock on the door, and I open the door, and there stands my wife and my daughter. And they embarrassed me in front of my girlfriend. It was very, very, I wasn't having a good time, let's put it that way. Very sticky. Well, the next morning I got up and all my clothes were laying out in the yard just like they're supposed to be. She went down to the lawyer and filed for divorce again, went to the bank, took all the money again. I never could get her, beat her to the bank. I know she's quick. And here we are, go again. Well, after a number of years later, I get sober. I get back into Alcoholics, get into Alcoholics Anonymous. And then later she gets into Alcoholics Anonymous. And then we get married again. 9 years later, I'm standing at the back of the door one night at the group, and I was greeting people as they come in. And I turned around, and there was this lady, the mobile home incident. She'd come to the group. Phyllis was at the coffee pot. I looked over my shoulder at Phyllis. She was getting a cup of coffee. She looked back. And all this happened that quick. I wasn't having a good time. A day or so later, we were at another meeting, and here was this lady. And Phyllis began to talk ugly to me. And a day or two later, we were at another meeting, and here was this lady. And Phyllis began to talk ugly to me. I wasn't having a good time. Well, after about 2 weeks of this, and she finally came back out of the ceiling, I was able to sit down and talk to her. I said, Phyllis, this happened many years ago, and I made amends to you, and I promised you that I wouldn't do this again, and I haven't, thank God, and you know that. I said, now, it's just kind of like last month's electric bill. I paid it, and I'm not paying that one no more. You have a problem with that lady, and I don't, and I suggest you get it straightened out, because I'm not paying no more. They'll let you pay forever if you'll pay. Believe me, they will.
As God's people, we stand on our own feet. We don't crawl before anyone. We do our best. We make our amends. If they don't accept it, that's their problem. That means they're sick people also. We can't do anything about other sick people. Some of these amends, we can't fully make them. Some of the people are already dead and buried, and of course we can't go see them on a one-on-one basis. Some people, to make the amend, would hurt them further, or just as importantly, somebody else. We just can't make that amend. We don't worry about those. If we can honestly say to ourselves, and really mean it, that we would make them if we could, all we can do is stand ready, and if the possibility comes up where we can make the amend without hurting others, then we can go ahead and make it. In the meantime, we just have to be willing to do so whenever the opportunity comes up. Now, there's one other amend that people like to talk about a lot, and that is, don't you owe some amends to yourself? I guess we do. You know, I don't hold with the theory I never hurt anybody but me while drinking, because I hurt everybody I ever touched, I guess, far back as I can remember. But I most certainly hurt me about as bad as I hurt anybody else. And I think the greatest amend that I can make to myself is to clear away the wreckage of the past so I can live free in the future. Until I make my amends to others, till I get rid of that guilt and remorse and fear, I'm never free. As long as that stuff's there, the past keeps dragging me back and keeps me from getting that ultimate peace of mind and serenity and happiness that I really want and I really need. I think the finest amend we can make to ourselves is to make amends to others, clear away the wreckage of the past, so we can live free in the future. Now just think, if we've done these things, we got right with God in 1, 2, and 3. If we got right with ourselves in 4, 5, 6, and 7. If we got right with our fellow man at 8 and 9, that means we're well in all three dimensions of life. We fit ourselves back in the design for living that God intended for us to live in the first place. And if we're right with God, ourselves, and our fellow man, we're probably going to feel pretty good.